Father, bless these words to our hearts in Jesus' name. Turn in your Bibles, please, to John chapter 3. In verse 17, God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world. Young people, God didn't send Christ to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. We're not talking about the planet when we talk about the world. We're talking about the people in the world. And so God didn't send His Son into the world to condemn people. God sent His Son into the world that people would be saved. And then it continues in verse 18, He who believes in Him is not condemned. It's not possible to condemn the believer. The word condemn means to pronounce judgment on somebody. In other words, to say, you are guilty. And then to figure out what kind of sentence or punishment that person should have. Judging can also be considering whether somebody's guilty. You look at them, you look at the way they're behaving, the way they're talking, and you say, what are they really about? What are they trying to say? Is this showing something bad? Or is it showing something good? And you're trying to figure it out. But God says, God didn't send Jesus into the world to do this. God sent Jesus into the world to save people. And the person who is a believer, a Christian, is not condemned. Nobody can do this to them. They can try, but they cannot succeed. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, God commended His love toward us. To commend means to show and to prove. So God showed and proved His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were people who did not live correctly with God, we did not operate in faith, we did not believe Him, we did not obey Him, we did not have right standing with Him. We were not right at all. In that condition, God sent Christ to die for us. God sent Christ to die for us. Because of that, in Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation. Now, there was a woman in John chapter 8, who was caught in sin. And there was no question about it. She was caught in sin. I'm not going to get into the sin. There's no point to that. The fact of the matter is, she was caught in sin, and there was no question about it. And they brought her to Jesus. And they said, a person who commits this kind of a sin, according to the law of Moses, is to be put to death. What do you say, Jesus? Now, this was very severe. Because that woman had no defense. She was caught. There was no way out for her. Moses said what Moses said. She was caught. And the Israelites believed and practiced the laws that Moses gave. She had no way out. She was facing death, and they were trying to test Jesus to see whether He would violate the laws of Moses. But Jesus was a million times smarter than they were. And He simply said to them, He among you who has never sinned, let Him be the first one to cast a stone at her, because that's how they put people to death in those days. They threw rocks at them until it killed them. And so, every single one of those people who wanted to condemn her, who wanted to say she is guilty, she must die, every single one of those people, one by one, threw down their rock on the ground and walked away from her. Because every single one of those people had something in their life, because all humans do, where there was some form of sin. Now, He did not violate the law of Moses. He just brought to their awareness that they are in fact in the same position that she was, that they too were sinners. That every human being, except for Christ, He was the only one who wasn't, but every human being is a sinner. Every human being has flaws. Every human being makes mistakes. Every human being faces challenges. Every human being is a sinner. And so He says to them, if you're not a sinner, then go ahead and condemn her. But if you are a sinner, watch out, because you must be condemned also then. And that put things into a totally different light. They realized what He was saying, and they could not throw a rock at her. They just threw the rock down back on the ground and walked away from her, and she was left there alone. And then Jesus says to the woman, "Woman, where are your accusers? Who are the people who accuse you of sinning?" And she looked around, and they were all gone. And she says, "No man, Lord." And He says to her, "Well, I don't condemn you either." And then He said, "Go and sin no more." He wasn't happy about the sin. He didn't want her to sin. Sin separated her from Him. Sin damaged her life. Sin did devastating things to her, but not from Jesus. Sin has its own consequences. But Jesus doesn't bring those consequences in. Jesus said to her, "I don't condemn you either. I'm not going to accuse you. I'm not going to judge you. I'm not going to stand there saying you're guilty. I'm not going to do that to you." Why? Why wouldn't He do that to her? She was guilty. She did sin. But she could not be condemned. But her answer was why? She said, "No man, Lord. No man, Lord." The Bible says that you cannot call Jesus Lord and mean it unless you're saved. That is something that the Holy Spirit does inside of you. He's the one that shows you that Jesus is Lord. He's the one that makes Jesus your Lord. And by that, it's the same word as saying your master. He's the one in charge of your life. He's the one who takes care of you. He's the one who guides you. And so she said, "No man, Lord." And that's why she could not be condemned. If she was not a believer, now she was a very backslidden believer. She was a believer in sin. She was a believer who was making unbelievable mistakes. And those mistakes cost her. But she could not be condemned. If she was not a believer, she would have been condemned already. They wouldn't have had to do it. Jesus wouldn't do it. It would have already been done on her own part. But because she was a believer, because she was saved, just badly backslidden, she could not be condemned. This is why there is no condemnation. Now try to follow this. It may be a little tricky. You may have to hear this more than once. But this is reality. And part of this reality, in order to understand this, time is not the way it seems to be. We experience time as being one moment after another moment after another moment after another moment, like a long string of moments. That's our experience of time. Everybody experiences time like that. But our experience and the reality are different. Think about an ant and an elephant. An ant will experience the world around itself in a certain way, and an elephant will experience the world around itself in a certain way. And the two experiences are going to be very different. Because the ant has a different frame of reference, a different viewpoint than the elephant. And so the ant will experience one thing, the elephant will experience something else, but they could both be standing in the exact same place. So when I say the way that we experience time is different than the way that time really is, it's not because we're doing something wrong. It's because of the way we see things. It's our perspective. We don't have a choice in that perspective. But we can understand things as they actually are, even though we can't experience them fully as they actually are. And that's true with a lot of things with God. Now, in Ephesians 2:16 and 17, this is what the Bible says about you and Christ, your relationship to Him. When Jesus was on the cross, you became a part of Him. You became a part of His physical body. You may not see that, but that's because of where you're looking from, your frame of reference. You may not know how you can become part of something that happened 2,000 years ago, but that's because of the way you experience time. In reality, as great scientists like Albert Einstein showed us, that's very possible. And so, when Jesus was on the cross, every Christian became a part of His physical body. You've heard that we were cleansed by the blood in Revelation 1:5, that the blood of Jesus cleanses you from all sins. It removes all sins. It does. The reason why it can remove your sin is because when Jesus hung on the cross, you were, at that point, His body, and that has not changed. That's why the Bible says that we died with Him, we were buried with Him, and we rose again with Him. So, Jesus and us are really very, very connected. We are His body in 1 Corinthians 12:27. We are a part of that body. Because we were a part of that body on the cross, when His blood flowed over Him, and it flowed over Him when He was on the cross, it flowed over us also. Now again, you're not experiencing that physically, but that's only because of where you're looking from. Your frame of reference, your point of view, isn't big enough to be able to see that. You're a human being on earth. But God can see that. And so, we are His body. On the cross, His blood flowed over us, and when it flowed over us, it cleansed us from all sins. In Psalm 103:12, it removed our sins, the Bible says, as far as the east is from the west. It's not talking about New York to Los Angeles. That's talking about the entire universe. If you take a straight line to the east and a straight line to the west, it's not going to wrap around the earth. It's going to go from one end of the universe to the other end of the universe. Well, Einstein showed us that space and time are actually the same thing. Now, don't worry about whether that makes sense to you. Just realize that space and time are the same thing. When God cleansed you from your sins, He cleansed them from time. In Hebrews 8:12, the Bible says He doesn't remember our sins. But in 1 John 3:20, He knows everything. So if God knows everything and He doesn't know our sins, that means that our sins do not exist. Not only do they not exist in the world, they do not exist in time. Because God would know them if they existed in time. But He doesn't know them, so they do not exist in time because the blood of Christ has taken them out of the world, out of time, away from us, and made us completely pure and clean. No believer can be condemned. No believer will ever have God say that you are guilty and therefore you must be punished. That doesn't happen for believers because we are cleansed by the blood of Jesus. It removes all sins from us. Does that mean we can sin? No, of course not. If we sin, we hurt ourselves. It's like taking a hammer and hitting your hand with it as hard as you can. Oh, this will be fun. Whack! And then you realize, after you've done that, even though it seemed like it might be fun, it really hurts. And you've broken your hand. And maybe you've damaged it permanently, where you can't fix it. Sometimes you can fix it, sometimes you can't. So it's not like sin is a good thing or a neutral thing. No, sin is very, very negative. It's very bad stuff. But at the same time, we will never be pronounced guilty because when we do sin, even though we hurt ourselves, God will not say, you're guilty, you need to be punished. God will never hold sin to our account. God will never look at us and say, this is what you've done, this negative thing or that sin or what have you. God will always see you and say, beloved, perfect in my eyes, spotless and clean, accepted, no mistakes, no sins, absolutely perfect. Why? Because you're one person with Him. You're His body. His life is your life in Galatians 2:20. There's a union between us and God. We can't see it, but the Holy Spirit is inside of us, and that is the proof of the union, whereby we are not capable of being separated from Him. Absolutely nothing in Romans 8 can separate us from the love of God, from God. Nothing can make us condemned. Nothing can cause us to be guilty. We may feel guilty, but God will never say, you are guilty. God will say, you are accepted, you are loved, you are precious, and you are perfect. Now, I want my experience to become the way that God sees me. And honestly, it's not always. But the blood of Christ takes care of the times when it's not, and we're fine, we're safe. But for my own benefit, for my own enjoyment, so that I can have joy in my life, I want my experience to become the way that God sees me. I want it to be where I experience the love of God, where I experience the acceptance of God, where I experience the life of God. Sin prevents me from experiencing those things. That's another reason why it's bad. But it can never separate me from God. It can never make me guilty before Him. I cannot be condemned. And either can you. Because you are the body of Christ. You are accepted in Him. You are one person with Him as His body. You are cleansed by the blood. Your sins are removed as far as the east is from the west. And nothing can separate you from Him. There is no condemnation. For you, there will never be a time when anyone can legitimately say, you are guilty, you must be punished. Now, if you commit a crime, then the state or whoever does have the right to do that, the police do have the right to arrest the criminal, and the courts do have the right to send that person to jail. That's part of national entity. That's part of God's design for countries. But that's something different than the way that you are before God. And that's really what we're interested in, because we're on earth for a while. And it can even be a long while. Maybe some people live to be 110. But 110 years does go by. And even if you live to be 110, eventually you'll end up in heaven with God. and God will say to you, welcome. God will say, enter. God will say, you belong here. God will say, I'm happy to see you. God will say, you are accepted here. God will say, you are welcomed and loved here. And God will say, you can never be condemned. Not by me, not by an angel, not by anybody. You cannot be condemned. People may try to condemn you. Don't accept that if they do, they don't have the authority. Only God can condemn, and God says He will not condemn. Because to condemn you would be to condemn Himself, and He's perfect. What is there to condemn? Because of the blood of Christ, there's nothing to condemn. Anything wrong, any sin, any mistake, anything at all, has been washed away by the blood of Christ, and you are completely free of anything to condemn. It's not there. And because it's taken out of time, it never was. You guys understand that? All right, that's it for today.